Episode 190, BulaNetwork.com. Sell something. I grew up as a teenager in sales and have heard all my life, nothing happens until somebody sells something, and it's still true. We'll talk about it next. Welcome to BulaNetwork.com. That's B-U-L-A. Bula is a Fiji term. It means, well, it's analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. It means both hello and goodbye. I'm told that it means, in particular, life is good, and I think it is. No, I'm not from Fiji. No, I've never been to Fiji. I do hope to go one day. And maybe you'll help send me there. Who knows? Maybe one of these days I'll sell you something. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here at Bula Network. I'm coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, from a place that I call the Yellow Studio. Recording today's show on video, too. So if you want to see it in video, you can go to the website at BulaNetwork.com/190. And today we're going to talk about selling. We need to sell something. Everybody needs to sell something. I go to the gym every day and, there's a couple of guys that I see there, and their primary job is selling. I suppose every health club has got the same problem. You've got a certain amount of attrition. You have people that stop coming. Now, in the gym business, I rather suspect, because of the nature of the beast, that if somebody is paying every month but they're not showing up, they probably don't care. It's like, hey, we got our money. I think I would. And I think I would because how long is somebody going to pay for something that they don't use? I suspect, I don't know this to be true, but I would suspect that they probably don't do that. And they're probably not very proactive about it because here's what happens to us in sales. Pretty common. Let a sleeping dog lie. So if somebody's paying, pick a number, if somebody's paying $50 a month, for a gym membership, but they don't come every month, or maybe it's been months and months since they showed up, but they're continuing to pay because probably you've got them on auto bill pay. They may not even know that they're paying. So let's don't call them, because if we call them, then they'll stop paying us. There is something to that. And I'm not saying it's dishonest. It's just the way businesses often work. It's the reason that when you sign up for a service, whether it's cable or satellite TV, any of these things that may give you new subscriber benefits, you know, DirecTV and others will sign you up and they may give you 3 free months of a premium service like Showtime or HBO. And then on the fourth month, they start to bill you for that. And they won't remove that of their own volition. You have got to be proactive and you've got to call them and say, hey, take me off the HBO because I know next month you're going to bill me for it. See, they're hoping that you forget about it. And they're hoping that over the 90 days, you watch so much HBO that by the time you get to day 91 and they start billing you now, you can't live without it. That's not often the case, I don't think. I think it's more often the case that people, they forget about it. They forget to call and cancel it. Now, in the gym business, and I guess probably, well, I can't think of a business that it doesn't apply to, where we have all the customers we need, we can possibly take on another one. We don't need any more. We don't need new customers because our old customers are doing such a spectacular job of maintaining our high-flying lifestyle. We couldn't possibly take on another customer. That's not the case. We always need more customers because like the gym, we have customers that leave. Now, if you are in a located business, that is you serve a market area, a certain geography, you've got all kinds of problems. I know I've made my life in that business since I was a kid. Sometimes people move away and we lose their business. We may not even know it. People die. It happens. And we lose a customer. People, they go somewhere else. I used to eat lunch every day at a particular restaurant for years by myself. I would get a USA Today paper. I'd go buy a paper and I'd sit there and it was just, I don't know. It was just it was about an hour of just decompression. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it'd be more than an hour, but I'd take some work with me and I'd read the paper, and then I might do a little bit of work. And it was just nice to be away from the hubbub, you know, of the office. I stopped going. You know, I'm like everybody else. You get to be a creature of habit, and they knew who I was. And you don't expect a restaurant to call you necessarily, but I did, and this was years ago, but I began to think of the places that I had frequented in my career in various cities where I have made a career. And I kept thinking of the money that I spent over the course of any given month in a place, and then I'd just be gone, right? I mean, just like a ghost. I'd decide, try something different. And it wasn't that they had done anything bad, but you think about if you go someplace 5 days a week, 5 days a week, if you go every day of the week throughout a week and you start thinking about the money and you're thinking, okay, it's not like one person made a huge dent in their sales, but if you had a lot of people do that, you'd have a big dent in your sales. But that happens. See, we get bored or our tastes change, or it could be something as innocuous as a road construction that just makes it just a little bit more difficult to get there. And so we go somewhere before we get to that road construction. And all of a sudden, they don't see us anymore. And they may wonder, what happened to him? He used to come in here every day. The point is we lose customers. For a variety of reasons. Now, I've got to start right here because this is where I tend to start with people that want my help, especially when the help is designed around getting their business to the next level. And I'm going to go on record and tell you that I don't commonly work with startup kind of things. I'm usually working with a business owner, a CEO of a business that's got some history. And got a database. Now the database may be garbage, but they've got one. And I'm notorious for starting with, let's start with your current customers. Who are they? Where are they? How long has it been since you touched them? Really, really, really common to hear people say, well, let's see. And you're like, okay, it's been too long. I mean, if you're having to roll your eyes in the back of your head and ponder this, it's been too long. If you're not consistently reaching out and touching them and telling them how much you care about them and finding out what you can do to make sure they're happy, then you've lost already. I'm not a big believer in customer satisfaction, or rather, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I hate it. Customer happiness, I'm all in favor of. But not many people do it right. Apple, this past week, they had their, you know, their big shindig thing that they have anytime they have some new announcements to make. And if you're watching on video, I'm fooling with my headphones because I've got some kind of a short in this ear, in this earphone. And they're great headphones and I love them, but I've got some kind of a problem that's driving me crazy. Sorry. Apple had this shindig. The new MacBook Pros, the new Mac Pro, and the new iPads. Now, prior to that, of course, they released the iPhone 5, the 5S, and is it the 5C? And part of this presentation, this grand circus that they held this past week, was the video that showed the iPhone 5 the day that it was released. And they showed employees, you know, stacking them deep and high in the stores. And they showed stores all over the world, from Japan and Asia to $10 $4 and $10 $3. And of course that famous store in Manhattan, you know, the glass cube. Pretty spectacular. Throngs of people and people just excited, you know, just, it's the same thing that you see when you see a new video game come out. I'm not a gamer, but some of them look pretty cool, I got to admit. You know, so when World of Warcraft or whatever it is comes out, you know, people just, Call of Duty comes out and people just go crazy. Same kind of a thing. Why is that? Why do you suppose that is? Now, I can speak as an Apple devotee. I've been an Apple customer since before 1984. In 1984, the first Macintosh came out and I bought it. And then the next Mac came out and I bought it. And I haven't bought every Mac every year since, because they started to come out with them a little too frequently. I couldn't keep up. But I do remember the very first Mac, in fact. And I had used an Apple II. You probably don't remember those. And I can tell you from then until now, my experience as an Apple customer has been nothing but terrific. And I mention that because we want our customers to love us. Here's the problem for most of us in business. We really don't want to love you. We want you to love us. We really don't want to go to the trouble to love you. Can't you just love me? Just love me like I am. No, it doesn't work that way. I have had Apple products and I've had to go into the stores, but long before they had the stores and you had to call or you had to do something by way of shipments, I've never had a problem that wasn't solved to my satisfaction. I've never heard of a person who didn't have a problem that wasn't solved to their, now let's be fair. I even know people who, I know of someone who bought a brand new iMac, got it home, and they were reconnoitering their desk around, dropped it. It fell off the table. The screen broke. It cracked. And they were just sick. They go back to the Apple store. The Apple store, of course, they didn't replace it. But they worked so diligently. They did the repairs and put a brand new screen or whatever on this thing. And as I recall, the bill was like $400. Now, this thing had fallen. Apple didn't have one thing to do with it falling. The customer's completely guilty. And he knew it was his fault. He just, can you help me at all? And they bent over backwards and he was thrilled. Now it's possible somebody's out there and they did some dumb stunt like that in Apple. I can't believe they're going to charge me when, you know, you dropped it off the table. Now, come on, give me a break. But I got nothing but good things to say, because one, the product's killer, the design's killer, the performance is killer, the ease of use is killer, but they have demonstrated that they care about me. They want to take care of me. I had a problem with a computer, an internet connectivity issue, and I have an Apple, it's over here somewhere. I have an Apple wireless router. I'd tell you, I forgot what the name of the, what do they call those things? It's, you know, it's the square thing. Well, I wanted to use it. Well, my internet provider, in their infinite wisdom, they changed out my modem and they gave me a modem that was not only a modem, but it was also a router. I didn't want a router. I just want a modem. I got my own router. I want to use my own router. Anyway, I had all kinds of problems for about a month. And they tell me, well, we know what the problem is and Apple's aware of this problem. You need to call Apple and tell them this, that, and the other. Well, I did. I get bumped up straight away to like a third level supervisor, and he's doing everything he can. I mean, we're sharing screens and he's really working this thing. And he said, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand this. So he gives me some advice, gives me a phone number where I can call him back. Oh, by the way, I got disconnected because he had me reboot stuff. He didn't realize that I was on a VoIP phone line. So when I rebooted the modem, it killed our phone connection. And he called and he leaves me a voicemail. So when I reconnected the phone, he left me a phone number to call him back. Now, who does that? Nobody does that. They just say, well, call that 800 number and just anybody can help you. No, this guy helped me. This guy wanted me to talk to him. Now, this is Apple, right? This is a gazillion dollar company. But the guy's given me his name and his phone extension. Do you do that for your customers? Oh, we're not Apple. We don't have the resources to do. Now, see, it works just the opposite. Usually the bigger they get, the less love they show. Because like a restaurant that I stopped going to, I'm one guy. I'm one guy who's going to lunch. They're going to miss me that much? Okay. Yeah, the waiter might miss me, but yeah, okay, in the grand scheme of things, he's one guy. So we get all this way backwards. The bigger they are, the more difficult it is for them to love us and show that they love us. So I got to start right there. When it comes to selling, we just got to start right there. And that if you're not exercising the proper demonstration of love for the customer, what are you thinking? You're out of your mind. No wonder you need to grow your company. No wonder you need to get to the next level. You haven't figured this all out yet. You need to get your mind right. What was the actor? Cool Hand Luke. Guy who's just absolutely browbeating Paul Newman's character. You know, you need to get your mind right, Luke. And he did everything he could to break Paul Newman and get his mind right. Well, you need to get your mind right. You've got to love the customer. And you can't just give it lip service. You just can't go out there and browbeat your employees and say, we really need to love the customer. No, you've got to show it. You've got to prove it. And it's got to come from the top down. It can't come from the bottom up. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. I'd love to tell you that a grassroots love the customer program will work. It won't work. All the people at the front line can do, no, they've got to be, I hate the word, but for lack of a better one, I'm going to use it. They've got to be empowered to do what they must do. The guy at Apple's got to be able to have the authority. Somebody had to say, yes, it's okay for you to give Randy in Dallas your phone number. And it was 9 o'clock at night, by the way. He didn't just do that on his own. Now, he may be great and he may be proactive, but somebody somewhere told him, you take care of Randy and all the Randys in the world. You take care of them because they're our customer. So you do what you got to do. He did. You can too. So it's high time you start. So let's start with that database, shall we? You might be, well, you probably wouldn't be shocked. If you've listened to me, you wouldn't be shocked. If this is the first time you've listened or watched me, then welcome. I'm glad you're here. But I got to tell you, it still surprises me the times that I encounter business owners and I ask about the customer database and they either can't put their hands on it quickly or they can put their hands on it, but immediately they're making excuses. And here's the excuse. We probably need to clean that up a little bit. Some of that information may be a little bit outdated. I mean, it's the same. It's not surprising when their response, when you ask, when's the last time you interacted with your customer and your database? And they go, well, okay, game over. It's been too long. Now, too many people, I think, have this attitude of pestering. I don't want to pester people. Now, there's a difference between pestering people and even letting people know that you're aware they're alive. So I get a database, and this happens. This has happened way too frequently. And you look at it and you look at it and you look at it and it's page and it's page and it's page. And you're looking for an email address. And you realize you've got pages of customer names and addresses and phone numbers. And you got less than 5% that have email addresses. Yeah, we're not real good about collecting those. We really need to do a better job of collecting those. Now, yes, I'm dealing with brick and mortar, you know, offline, you know, what some people jokingly call real businesses. Listen, there's real online businesses too, for sure. But it's like, why aren't you collecting email addresses? You realize all it takes is asking. That's all you got to do to get an email address is ask. We're talking customers. It'd be like the guy walking into the gym and buys a gym membership. He'd give them the email address. They just don't ask. Well, I guarantee they ask. I promise you they ask. And they get it. And you will too. So ask. Get the email address. Of course, I could dive deep and dark into what goes on next, but this is about selling, so let's get on with it, shall we? Because I got about 5 points here, and let's just make them the 5 B's, shall we? The 5 B's of selling. The first one is be valuable. Be valuable. I think a lot of people have it in their head, and this may be a guy thing. I'm sure it is a guy thing. Guys, do you remember being, 15, 16, you really kind of wanted to ask a girl to, you know, go to the school fair or whatever with you. And man, he's just hard, really hard. You know, because what if she says no, kicks you to the curb? What if she, you know, you dare, you certainly would like to ask her, but you can't ever get her. She's always got these friends loitering around, and you really don't want to do it in front of them, because if, you know, it's, you're not so much thinking about making her uncomfortable. You're thinking about how uncomfortable you're going to be when she says no, because you're already anticipating she's going to say no. You know, it's a guy insecurity thing. Now morph that into our adulthood, and we're in a selling situation, and it's like we're asking a girl on a date. No, it's not. It's not like that at all. It's not even remotely like that at all. But in our head, it's kind of like that. And so, and that fear of rejection and all the call reluctance issues creep up. And okay. Now, I'm not advocating cold calling. I'm not negating cold calling, because anybody that's done any cold calling can tell you it can work. Here's the rub with cold calling. Cold calling would be like us going to a pond or a small lake, and there's 10 fish in the lake. The odds of us catching those 10 fish, if we just throw our line out there 10 times, probably not going to happen. Probably not even going to get a bite. But if we go out there and we stay all day and we cast, 10,000 times, yeah, eventually one of those is going to bite. We might even catch one of them. So it's a numbers game, right? Because there's so few fish, we got to throw and 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 throw some more. Okay, that's cold calling. It's a numbers game. Got to call and call and call and call. You know, when you hear people talk about how they made 150 to 300 phone calls in a day, and you're thinking, man, alive. I mean, 300. Yeah, you know, well, how many did you get? Three. Got three people. I mean, that's just, and of course, the pit bosses in these boiler rooms that perpetrate this kind of activity, you know, are notorious for, you know, making all these baseball analogies and how often a guy steps up to plate and misses and strikes out. And, you know, that a batting average of 200, 250, 300 is great. You know, I mean, it means you're failing 70% of the time. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. This ain't baseball. We're not playing baseball. We're certainly not playing Major League Baseball. I mean, not when we're making 300 phone calls a day. So I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm not an advocate of it now. I'm not going to do it. You knock yourself out. Do what you want. I mean, to me, if there's 10 fish in this lake, I'm thinking wrong lake. I don't care. It's like, okay, we've got to find a way to get these 10 fish. It's not legal, but I'm going to be real tempted. Dynamite. Be valuable. You got to be valuable. You really need to believe in what you're doing. But that's the second B. But in order to believe what you're doing and to believe that it's valuable, it does have to be valuable. I'm not going to advise that you con yourself into it. I'm not going to advise that you wrangle it and you wrestle it and you twist it every which way so that you can contort it into conning yourself first into believing that it's no, be valuable. be valuable. Hold something that you know in your heart your prospects need, something that will benefit them and make their life better. Got to start there. If you don't have that, get it. If you're working for somebody else and they don't provide it, find it. Stay where you are. Don't quit just yet. Find something that you can believe in, fully believe in. Now, I'm not saying it's got to be a game changer. I'm not saying it's got to be a world breaker, but it needs to be something that you know in your heart, you need this, and this will help you. This will solve your problem. This will make you more money. This will save you time. This will be of value to you. You got to know that. You got to hold that in your heart. For me, it starts right there. I know there are people who so love the game of selling, it doesn't matter. They don't care if they believe in it or not. They just like the game of talking people into things. I don't subscribe to that notion of selling. I've seen it. I've even sat back in amazement at it. I don't have that ability. I can't tell you that I admire that ability in others. I am baffled by and amazed at some of the skills that I see. And I do often wonder, man, alive, if they really had something that was, because you know what they are. They're basically really good con men, because they're able to manipulate people and convince people to buy something that they no more need than a man in the moon, but they are so crafty and they are so clever and they are so articulate and they're so persuasive. Okay, don't be that guy. There are those guys. Be very careful of those guys. Those guys scare me. I'm amazed at their skill, but they're scary. You need to be valuable. The thing that you're selling needs to be valuable. The guy at the gym, I mean, I would have no trouble. I'm a middle-aged guy, and I go to the gym pretty much every day. Somebody comes in, I got no problem telling them, this is an investment that you need to make in yourself. I mean, unless you just want to drop dead sometime in a parking lot, you know, in your 40s or 50s, you need to be in here now. You need to be in here now. You don't have to be in here a ton. You know, be in here 30 minutes a day and just wind down. Okay, use it as a decompression. I mean, I can think of all kinds of pitches that I could make to people that I firmly believe in, by the way. They're not just pitches. I'm not just trying to hook somebody. I can think of some valuable, compelling reasons because I do, number two, B, I believe in it. I believe in the value of it, and you have to believe in the value of it as well. You have to believe in not only the value of it, it's not about the value of it for you because you may not be your ideal customer, but you can still sell it to people who are your ideal customer because you know and you believe in the value it provides for them. We get all hung up in thinking, well, you know, I wouldn't buy that, so I can't sell it. Well, that's stupid. I mean, that's really stupid. Roughly half the planet are females. I'm not. As you can evidence by, well, I started to say as you can evidence by the facial hair, but okay, that's not a fair test necessarily. So would I exclude half the planet because I'm not the target market and say, well, ladies, I know you need shoes and you need purses and you need dresses and you need outfits and you need manicures and you need this, that, and the other. But, you know, I just don't believe in those things because I don't need them. No, we think, well, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Just because you're not the target market doesn't mean that it's not valuable to somebody. It is valuable to somebody. It's valuable to your target market. Maybe I should have started there because you need to sit down. You need to think about your perfect ideal customer. You need to think about your perfect ideal avatar. Who are they? Where do they live? What do they like? What do they hate? All that kind of stuff. Believe in what you can do for others. Number three, be resilient. You can't take failure or a no or a rejection personally. This is where we let the 15, 16-year-old version of ourselves, guys, come in and sabotage us. Oh, what if she says no? I remember being a kid and I remember wanting to call some girl. And I was friends with this girl, which was even made it even stupider. We talked every day at school, but I couldn't pick up the phone to call for love nor money. I thought I had love. I didn't have any money. You know, what's she going to say? What's she going to say? I mean, how stupid. You know, we just spend time, a lot of time dreading. Pick up the phone, put yourself out of your misery. You're either going to make a sale or you're not going to make a sale. When you don't make a sale, and it's coming, it's going to happen, you're not going to make the sale. Let's assume you're not going to make the sale. Okay. But when I say be resilient and don't take it personally, I mean, don't sit there even, especially before the fact, but even after the fact, don't sit there and bemoan, oh man, I wish I'd have said this, or whoa, I should have said that. Or, you know, you second guess yourself is what you do. You just second guess yourself eight ways to Sunday instead of doing what you should do. And that is next, move on. And that's point number four, be tenacious. Don't give up. Don't quit. I have inquired with people before. I've had some interest in this or that, and I've actually given them my information and asked them to contact me, and I've been contacted. And sometimes, guess what? They contact me, and it's timing's bad. They caught me at a bad time, and I'll say, you know, right now is not a good time. Call me later. And they don't. You've had that happen to you. I know it's happened to you, because those are people who have taken that rejection personally. There wasn't any rejection, and there certainly wasn't anything personal about it. It was just a matter of bad timing. And sometimes we're all going to be bad in our timing. So while you're spending hours, maybe days, and second guessing yourself and replaying all the things that you said and all the things that you did and all the stuff, and I'm not saying don't be aware of those things. I'm not saying don't be self-aware. And I'm not saying don't try to improve and don't try to figure out where you could make an improvement. I'm saying don't sit there and obsess about, man, maybe I could have said this, maybe I could have said that, because it may not be any of that. It may be the fact that, you know what, you called them on Tuesday and they were buried on Tuesday. But if you would have called them on Wednesday, it would have been a completely different conversation. You just don't know. Meanwhile, your imagination is going crazy with you, and you're running off to all four corners of the earth trying to figure out what you did wrong. Maybe nothing. In fact, I'll go you one better. You're better off assuming that you didn't do something wrong than you are to assume that you did do something wrong. Number four, be tenacious. Lastly, we've already hit on it, be lovable. Be lovable. It begins and it ends with being lovable. You've got to be lovable. And I don't mean, you know, huggy bear stuff. I mean, you've got to be lovable in the sense that they've got to know that you care about them. And that means that you cared to get their business. How many of us lament the fact that companies work so hard to get our business, but once we sign or once we pay, it's like they disappear. They don't care anymore. That's the majority of our experiences as consumers. The majority of us, we get all these marketing messages and all these promises, and the minute we say yes, game's over. Game's over. Oh, yeah, she got all gussied up for us and looks great. Got a ring on our finger, and here we are. You know, we've turned into the frog, and she's turned into, you know, an even bigger toad. It happens, right? It happens, and it happens in business all the time. Lots and lots of princes turn into toads. And lots of princesses turn into, what's Shrek's wife? It's just getting ugly now. I know that. The point is, you got to sell something, and you got to keep selling something. And when I say selling something, I'm going to go you one better. I'm going to tell you that not only do you have to sell something to a new customer, but I'm going to encourage you to continue to sell to your existing customers. And when I say sell, I don't mean just selling them stuff. I don't think that all of your contacts with your customers should be, yeah, you're interested in buying something else? Can I sell you something else? What else could I sell you? No, that's stupid. Don't do that. I haven't encountered very many. In fact, I can't tell you the last time that I encountered a business owner where there was some plan in place for them to constantly be touching in a positive way their existing customers. And I've been doing this a long time. I can't think of the last time that I encountered somebody that said, we do. We have a customer retention program, or put any fancy word on it you want. We're constantly checking on people, making sure everything's okay. And I've dealt with businesses that are in some really high touch kind of businesses, service industries. And you're like, really? I mean, you've gone 2 years and you haven't, nobody's called any of these people. Nobody's done anything. You've not mailed them in. I mean, nothing. No wonder you're losing business. You're out of your mind. Because in any business, no matter what business you're in, no matter what industry you're in, the cost to get a new customer is infinitely higher than it is to keep an existing customer. So the people that you've already got on your list, man, ramp it up. Ramp it up today. Don't wait till tomorrow and be touching those people. Be doing everything you can to make them happy. Happy, happy, happy. Now, what Uncle Cy says on Duck Dynasty. Happy, happy. No, it's, what's the dad's name? Phil. That's what Phil says. Yeah, Phil. You need to be what Phil says. Happy, happy, happy. That's how you want your customers to be. Well, that's it for me. Hope you enjoyed this glance into the studio. Again, if you want to see the video, go to BoolahNetwork.com/190. Episode 190. Let's see, call to action. I should have a call to action, right? I need to sell you something. Subscribe to the podcast, won't you? You can do that over at iTunes or Stitcher. There's even a green link down there to Fidly. Fidly. I said Vidly. Fidly. Fidly. I like Fidly. Are you an Android user? I got a great email. Melanie in Ireland, I appreciate. She went to great lengths to tell me, you know, she's an Android user. She hates Apple iTunes, and she was quite vehement about it. I get it. I understand. I want to make this easy for you. She doesn't like Stitcher. She likes something else. And, it was a podcatcher and it looked pretty cool. I'm not an Android user, so I don't know, but are you an Android user and you hate all of the above ways to subscribe? Send me an email and let me know how I can improve things for you. Results@BoolahNetwork.com. That's the email address. Results@BoolahNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. That is the website, BoolahNetwork.com. You're looking at the Yellow Studio.